Awesome, guys. Well, it's about 25 to 10, so I think we'll get underway. So I'm just going to shut the I'll just shut the camera down, so you can focus, because I know my good-looking face will be too much. That's a bit of a worry, isn't it? Anyway, here we go. So today, one of my favorite areas, something I'm really passionate talking about, is sales. And the topic of today's webinar is how to own the sales meeting like a boss. Like a boss. So it's a really important area. If you think you're in the business of plumbing, that's kind of true, but you're actually in the business of sales. So we're all salespeople here, and learning to be good at the sales process is a really critical part of having a successful, profitable business, and also one that can give us the lifestyle that we want. So what we're going to do today is talk about the sales process a little bit in general, then we're going to go really deep into how to actually just run a sales meeting, how to site visit, how to go and actually talk with the client or the prospective client and give you a process to look at that. What we'll cover today. So as I said in the opening, today is about sales. It's a topic that I just find endlessly fascinating because it's a topic about strategy and process, but it's also a topic that requires quite a lot of motivation, and there's a little bit of a psychological kind of headspace element to it as well, because for a lot of people it's quite difficult to ask for money. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today, and then what we're really going to do is map out a process for sales so that you've got some nuts and bolts to follow, and then we're going to go deep into one particular area, so we can't cover it all off in a 1 hour training. We're going to go into depth into the sales meeting, I call it. That's when you're booked in to go see a client and you're going to go and meet them about a job they want done. And it's probably end up with you doing a quote sort of thing. So that's what we'll focus on, give you some tools, scripts, words you can use to get the most out of that session. And getting your sales process sorted is absolutely critical for climbing up the million-dollar plumber ladder. So good sales, converting your leads into jobs is a hugely important area. And for a number of reasons, obviously you need work, but also it's about time, margins, etc., which we'll touch on. So what I want to do to kick off, guys, is I just want to hear from you. Now, why is it important for you right now to have a strong sales process so you can win more jobs, turn the camera on again, win more jobs and do it at good margins? So if you just want to put that in the chat box, that'd be awesome. And we can share that with the team. While you do that, I'll just grab a drink. Russ, constant workflow, awesome. Yes, but get good prices. Yep, Mike and Tracy, increased profits and work continuation. Fantastic. Yep. Steve's put James, the ideal client. Okay, so working with the ideal client. Johnny, growth. Fantastic. So Steve's put save time on quoting, awesome, huge one. Kelvin, growth, excellent. Luke, growth. It's a lot of originality today. Kelvin, save time on quoting, yeah, huge, massive. Emma, growth and profit. Okay. Awesome, guys. So there's a few similar themes there. A few other people have said growth. Okay. All right, so that's cool. I'll just shut myself down there. So here's a few things that we've found, some of you guys have just alluded to, that can be a big problem if you don't have a good sales process and you're just kind of winging it. The first one is, do you find yourself feeling really nervous? Or low in confidence Talking yourself down. Perhaps you do a quote, change the price two or three times before you actually give it to the client because you don't feel like you can ask for that money. Or maybe it's difficult to ask for money, or maybe it's difficult to ask for the sale. You know, would you like us to do the job? Or maybe you find it difficult to actually follow up people because you're scared of what you feel like is confronting them. So the whole mindset of sales might be something that's is quite challenging. After all, you go into business to be a plumber. It's not something that you get taught when you do your apprenticeship, how to actually approach people, get them to buy from you. Second thing is, are you working a lot of nights and weekends? Are you really busy? Do you find that you quote work? It takes a long time to quote. You get mucked around by tire kickers who don't follow up or don't say yes, or who try and talk you down on price. And you feel like there's a lot of time wasted in the process of quoting, not just from the tire kickers, but you could be more organised, have better process, better scripts, etc. And are you challenged by low margins? So some of the jobs you get, you know, deep down you know that perhaps they're not that profitable, but you take them because, hey, you've got to keep everyone busy. And is that leading to some cash flow headaches, cash flow pressure from time to time? Or when you do your back costing, do you realise that there's some actual areas in your business that particular types of clients that are just not that profitable? But you keep working with them because you're just not quite sure how to sell them at higher margins. Just give me your hands up, guys, if any of this makes sense, if any of this rings true for you. Just pop your hand up. Awesome. Okay, so there's a fair few hands up there. Emma got a big yes. Awesome. Thanks, guys. Okay. So what happens then if we get this right, we get a really strong sales process, we feel confident about it, how can this change the business? Well, number one is, hey, get more free time because you're winning more jobs, you're winning them at better margins, and you can actually afford to buy back some of your time as well as just have more time because you're not wasting it with people who are not qualified, not ready, who won't pay, etc. Perhaps you can get a new boat, or in this case, perhaps you can get the mooring for the boat. Or are you able to take some of the cash that you're making from your business and invest in some property or shares, maybe do some developments to build the wealth that that you want to, so you can create some freedom from for yourself and your family? Because at the end of the day, having a business is about creating good cash flow, which you can then use to invest, to grow your equity, grow your wealth and your assets. Okay. So like Mike from Plumbing and Gas, so look, Mike completely changed his experience of business. So he worked through the program, increased his margins by 33%, put an operations manager in place, really worked on his on-site systems, took his hours from 70 to 40 hours a week. And one of the key changes for Mike was, because he got himself out of the day-to-day operations, he actually spent the vast majority of his time on the sales in his business and streamlined that process and became very quick and efficient at getting his quoting done, which led to a massive increase in the conversion rates. So that's a really important part of business, getting that sales process sorted. Royston from CJ Kent, again, was flat out busy, stuck in the day-to-day without a process for his sales. So he worked on his financials, Royston, obviously boosted those up considerably, and extra 150K just through the pricing and the financials that he was running. Put an operations manager in place, but a lot of the effort then for him went into building the key relationships with clients, whereas before he was having to do competitive tenders, competitive pricing situations, spent a lot of time working on the relationships, and managed to turn a lot of that work into negotiated contracts, which is massively effective, much higher conversion, a lot less time pricing, and it becomes more of a process of sitting down with the builder or the construction company to put the quote together. Not to mention you got a new van and bought the family a new house, which is great stuff. So guys, so just grab a drink before we jump in, because there's some key principles I want to go through. First off, which will help put a paint a picture of the sales process, and then we're going to talk in detail about the actual sales meeting itself. Now, has everyone got the material printed out, that sales script? Just give me your hands up if you have. You've got that sales, should be on your email or in the handout section there as well. Cool. Awesome, guys. Okay. Alrighty, so let's talk some of the big picture stuff. First key principle is, have you got a process for your sales? So have you got the steps written out so everyone knows how the process works? Is it a bit like a production factory or a assembly line? Because if we don't have a process, then it's very difficult for us to put a consistent result together, because it'll be a bit hit and miss. We'll just make it up as we go along. So do we wing it, or do we have a process? Now, here's the process that it's a good process to follow, and I'm just going to walk through each step. We can't go into detail on every step today. We'll go into detail on the site visit sales meeting area. So the first step is obviously marketing, getting leads. So that's an important part of the sales process, because if you don't have good leads, obviously sales is not that important. The next part is the inquiry. So that's where you have your inquiry script, you qualify your clients. Can they pay? Can you help them? When do they need the job done? Get all the information you need from them. Get their email address to follow them up later with the email marketing, and create a great first impression. So the first impression is huge. So three things with inquiry script: great first impression, qualify the clients, and get all their information. And there's inquiry scripts in the membership site, which you can download. And we'll go through this more in the bootcamp actually next week as well, some of the nuts and bolts there. Now, there's a couple of things going to happen from the inquiry script. You're going to figure out whether the job is something that needs to be done straight away. So it's, you know, maintenance kind of servicing job. In that case, pretty much it's about just getting it booked in as quickly as possible, getting the job done. So you'll see up the top there, maintenance jobs completed, and then you go straight to the after-sales service. So that's a relatively simple process. We're not going to talk about that too much today. What we are going to talk about is the more involved process when you have a bigger job that you need to go and visit, spend some time with a potential client, and possibly put a quote together or a tender even. So the next step is what we call a pre-visit or value building. So that's what you do before you go and see the client to actually demonstrate some value, front load the process, because as they say, the heavy lifting needs to be done before you actually meet the person. So that's where we can do a client questionnaire. We give them a call beforehand if our office has booked the job in, booked the site visit in. We can send them our WOW pack or our company profile, and we confirm the appointment. So we're not going to cover off all of that today. It's an important area on its own right. That's probably the subject of another webinar as well. The area we will focus most on is the site visit today, which that's where we've got to build rapport, go through the process on site, do the site visit, use our quote request form. Maybe we need the plumbing plan, all that sort of information there as well. The next step is the quote or putting the tender together and how we do that. The step after that is your follow-up process. So if you put a quote together and you just give it to them, that's not where it stops. You've actually got to follow up, because a lot of money on the table just by following up. And again, we won't go through that in detail today, but there are some follow-up scripts in the membership site which you could download right now. One thing I would say is follow up promptly. Follow up within a day, particularly if you end up emailing the quote. You want to follow up very promptly, because you don't know if they've even got the email. But even if you deliver something in person, you want to follow up very quickly, and then every three or so days after that. And lastly, we've got the after-sales service, which is our client surveys, getting testimonials, our client gifts, and critical non-essentials. Again, we're going to talk about that in more detail at another time. Okay, so that's the process that we want to work through. And the key thing here is, if we don't have a process, then what ends up happening is we get worked by the client's process for buying. And guess what? If we don't give them any reasons, what are they going to judge us on? Well, it's going to be price at the end of the day. No, Sonia, you should only have the sales meeting script. That's fine. You definitely want that printed out because we're going to go through that in a minute. This sales process is in the membership site, so we can download it. But the key thing is, if you don't have a process, you're going to be at the mercy of the client's process for buying. And you know, newsflash, if we don't give them a reason, they're going to judge us based pretty much on price. Okay, so that's the process. The next area is testing and measuring. So you can't manage what you don't measure, and what you measure will improve. So here's what we need to measure. Number one, key measure for sales is your conversion rate. So that's how many quotes turn into jobs. So if I do 10 quotes and I win 7 of them, my conversion rate is 70%. Now there could be several conversion rates in your business. The KPI sheet that we do each month, which is just in the background there, that measures how many leads you get and how many jobs you do, which is the highest level conversion rate. So if you get 100 leads come in, both existing and new business, and you do 80 jobs in the month, you would have a conversion rate of 80% on that. You can break that down. So you could look at conversion rates based on quotes to jobs. You could look at conversion rates based on how many inquiries you get that turn into quotes. You could look at conversion rates based on how many jobs over $10,000 do I win? How many under $10,000? But at the starting point, you definitely want to measure the inquiries to jobs. Obviously, the higher the conversion rate, all things being equal, the better. But that's dependent on the next step, which is the profit margins. So the quality of your sales process will come out in your profit margins, your gross profit margin. Now, if your sales process is weak and you don't demonstrate any value and you're just getting shopped around on price, what's going to happen? You're going to be judged on price and your gross profit margin will be lower, will get hit. And the next one is you can measure how much time you spend on quoting as well. So that's a simple measure, that's time spent quoting divided by the number of quotes. And what's your average time? Obviously we want that to be as low as possible. And if you do a lot of sales activity that doesn't turn into jobs, obviously that average is going to be, it's going to be a bit higher. So those are the key measures. Number three, sales is easy when marketing does the heavy lifting. Okay. So marketing is about getting leads, sales is about turning them into jobs. And to make the sales process as easy as possible, if our marketing is really on point and really strong, demonstrates a lot of value, it's going to make the sales process so much easier. Okay, so I guess, quick question guys, actually, question for you, just turn the webcam on again, is what happens if you do a quote and you know that you don't have many leads? Just put it in the chat box. What's the thinking process that you go through? So you're putting a quote together, doing a site visit, and you know that you're a bit short of work and you really need that work. So what happens? Just put that down in the chat box. We can share that around because it's probably a pretty common challenge. Russ, drop the price to get the job, pretty much. Okay, so it's about price gets dropped. Yep, danger of having the price too low. Miles, pray I get the job. Amen, brother. We're all praying with you, my man. Cut price, show you're desperate, even if you don't mean to, Trish. Yep, okay. Mike and Tracy, price too low. Lower the margin to get the job. Awesome. So it's quite a psychological game. So let's turn the camera off here again, guys. What happens is if we don't have enough leads, it completely stuffs up the sales process because we become a price taker. And basically, we become a beggar. We're like, geez, I need the work. So having a a marketing 10 by 10 with 8 or 10 strategies that you're working on to generate leads is a critical part of getting great sales. So deal flow gives you power, and the sales process is a weird thing. It's one of the reasons I enjoy this area so much of business. It's all about power and who holds the power and who's in control of the process. Now, if you can say no to a client because you know you've got good deal flow, it's going to completely change the way you go through the sales process. Does that make sense to everyone? Just give me a big hands up. That's a really important area. Big hands up. Awesome, guys. Okay. So remember, power, keeping control. So you need deal flow. Next thing is, have you got a unique, well, before we jump into the unique selling proposition, marketing is just salesmanship in print. So back in the day, marketing was really, you know, be in the village square and you'd be going belly to belly doing your selling. Well, nowadays we can use the print media, the internet, etc. It's a brilliant time to be in business because we can extend our reach so much. So marketing is salesmanship in print. Now, when you meet someone face-to-face, there's four key questions you're looking to understand whether you want to do business with them. Number one, who are they? Number two, who's the company? Who's your company? Number three, can I trust you? And number four, can you help solve my problem? Now, if we just rock up and meet someone, the first time we meet them is on site, and basically all they've seen is a phone number, then we've got to do all of that in the sales meeting. But we want our marketing to position us strongly as a high quality provider, help them get to know and like us before we actually meet them. So things like having a unique selling proposition are really powerful there. Having a key point of difference makes your business different from all the other plumbers in your area, whether it's a service promise or you're a niche expert, maybe you're the expert in response maintenance, or you're the expert in plumbing for high-end houses, or you're the expert in central heating systems, or gas, or whatever it is. So unique selling proposition is critical. And it's all about know, like, and trust as well. So before you do business, typically you need to know someone, you need to like them, and then you end up trusting them. And that's where guarantee is really helpful as well, because that takes away some of the risk and helps put a service promise together so that the potential client feels comfortable. And you think about, if you rock up, you've got a guarantee, they've already seen it, they're aware of it, versus someone else, that can put you on the front foot right from the get-go. Testimonials, huge. So Luke and Ellie from LA Hughes have got some really good testimonials on their website. So written testimonials or video testimonials, massive. And they're probably the single biggest sales tool that we've got. Luke, big smiles. Yeah, you guys rock. Doing a great job. Single biggest selling tool you've got. Because if we tell the client that we're good, if we tell them that we can help them, if we tell them we understand where they're coming from, that's good. We certainly shouldn't talk ourselves down. We should sell ourselves. But if we say it, it's sales. If a client says it, it's true. So that's why testimonials are so powerful. It takes away that element of sales. Someone else says it, it's more believable. Now, there's a science to getting testimonials, and again, it's a topic for another discussion. But if you can get them on video, it's great because they're a person speaking, it's harder to argue with. More testimonials you have, the better. I mean, if you've got 20 on your website, 30 is better. Ideally, if you have written testimonials, you get a photo of the person giving the testimonial and their full name. That will help the believability. Particularly if it's a business-to-business testimonial, get their client logo as well, and that will improve the believability of the testimonial. So testimonial is huge. Also, in your marketing, just looking the part. Do you look like A1 high-class provider? So, you know, do you have a Hotmail address? Which, you know, doesn't speak to, it kind of sounds like one-man bandit. Or do you have a professional email address? Does your website look professional? Are your business cards professional? Are your vehicles well sign-written? Do you have uniforms? Or do you guys turn up with silicone all over their shirts? And, you know, how do they smell? That's massive. Signage and your personal presentation is huge. Never hurts to have the breath mints in the car before you do a sales meeting. So do you look the part? That's all going to help do the heavy lifting before you actually meet the client. Number four, eliminate objections. Okay, so guys, actually let's just go around the team here. What are the key objections you get? What do people say, the key excuses they give you when you're trying to get into a job? Just blast out your key objections. Sonia, price. Calvin, too expensive. Does anyone else have any other objections? Because the thing about price is very easy for the client to say price as well. It's like you can't really argue with that. Price, not ready to go ahead yet. That's a good one. Luke and Ellie, yep. Not the right time. Huge, not ready to go ahead yet. Miles, we will call you back. Okay. Yeah, that's the kiss of death. Russ, not ready, waiting for the bank. Okay, so finance is an issue. Trish, are we available next week? Okay. Emma, gosh, that's expensive. Johnny, price and can't do it quick enough. Okay, so, yep, cool. Sonia, waiting on two other quotes. Oh, that's a nasty one. Okay. Which means they're not convinced yet. Awesome, guys. So just the thing on the price, yeah, price is part of the equation, but remember it's always about value as well. That's, you know, why do some people drive a Lada and some people drive a BMW? They do the same thing, but one is perceived to be more valuable. So even when people say price, that's true, they are worried about the price, but what they're actually saying is, I don't see the reason why I should pay more for your solution. I don't see why it's more valuable. Therefore, I'm going to go with the one that's, you know, cheaper. And here's the key lesson with sales. Never give a price without giving the reason for paying that price. Never give a price without the reason for paying that price. Because, yep, price is part of the equation, but actually it's a value equation. And the reason they're choosing the lower price is because they don't see why the other price is more valuable. And it's our job to demonstrate that. To the extent that we can. So eliminating objections. Worst thing you want to have happen is you do all the hard work, you sit down with them for an hour, you put a whole lot of thought in, put a quote together, you even go and present it to them, and then they're like, oh, yeah, I need to talk to my wife about this, or oh, I need some time to think about this. Or, oh, that looks really awesome. I'm going to go and talk to my bank about whether I can get the money now. If that happens, what's actually gone wrong is something that we've missed. And wherever possible, we actually want to eliminate those objections before they happen. And that's why we have a process. That's why we qualify people, so that those objections are nailed down before we've actually invested a whole lot of time in the process. Now, I'd love to cover all the ways to do that today. We don't have time to do that in this sort of 60 to 90 minute session. And we will cover a lot of that off in the sales training in a week or so as well. But qualifying up front through your inquiry script, etc., is a massively important part of stopping those objections down the track. Fifth thing, sales takes training. Like, this is a profession. Sales is a profession. It's about helping people buy. So salespeople, they train. They put a lot of effort in. They practice their scripts. They try different things. They tweak the process to see if the results can improve. And we'll go the other way, I think. Okay, so it's all about constant and never-ending improvement. Can I? Constant and never-ending improvement. Because the fight is won in the gym. So, key lesson here is, and Muhammad Ali said this, the fight's won in the gym. It's what you do before you get in the ring that counts. Same with the sales process. We've got to actually demonstrate value, show that we're professional, have the client potentially excited about seeing us and see us as the answer to the problem before we even arrive. We don't want to do all of that when we actually meet them, because that's hard work. So remember, marketing does the heavy lifting, makes sales easy. So let's talk about the sales meeting. So make sure you've got your script there. So we've got a nine, so this, what we're going to dig down into the how now is when you actually meet someone on site. So you've done all the valuability and you've done all that stuff. When you actually meet them on site, how do you go through the process? Because if you don't have a process, often you can rock up and feel like, oh, you know, what do I say? The person seems to have control. They're sort of pushing me around, pushing my buttons, and that's not a nice feeling. So giving you a model and a process will help with that. So we've got a nine-step or nine-box process. And we go through each one of these steps, which is going to help us just take control of that sales meeting, demonstrate value, show that we're professional. Now, we typically do them in a rough order. Sometimes you might need to mix them up a little bit because we're dealing with people and it needs to be a little bit flexible. First off, right from the get-go, it's all about building rapport. So build rapport, and that's, hi, John. You know, it's Tony from XYZ Plumbing. How are you today? Big smile. So looking people in the eye and a big smile is massively important. It actually takes some practice, and that puts people at ease. You want to ask, hey, where's the best place to park the ute? Give them a business card and just build rapport with your normal small talk. So just find something that you can share common ground on, whether it's the weather, sports, news, photos, etc. It doesn't have to take a long time. You shouldn't spend a long time on this, particularly if you've done the heavy lifting beforehand, because it shouldn't be the first time you've spoken with them. And you do want to check decision makers at this point, though. Now, there's nothing worse than pitching to the wife with the husband not there, or vice versa. So you would say, if you notice that the husband's not around, you haven't met him yet, oh, is your husband in, or is John in? Because if you go through the process without both of them there, you're going to actually come unstuck. Next, and this is the way you eliminate the objection. We don't want to get, oh, I need to talk to my wife about this. Next is to take control. So set the agenda. So what you say is something as simple as, hey, is there any way we can sit down and talk? And then this is the key thing. You say, is it okay if I outline how we'll go through things today? First, I want to talk about the result, what you're looking to achieve here. Then I just want to talk about the reality, so what's the situation at the moment. Then I want to talk about the roadblocks, so what's stopping you getting started. And then if I think we can help, we'll talk about the next steps from here. So that's our intent statement, and we'll put a copy of this intent statement on the membership site as well. I think it's already on there. That just sets the framework. It puts the client at ease. It means you've got control of the situation, they feel comfortable, you're in charge, everyone's feeling good. Okay, so that's the agenda, take control. Next, that's the intent statement. So we just talked through the intent statement. Is it okay if I outline how we go through things today? Look, the first thing we'll do is talk about the result you're after, what you're looking to achieve here. Then we'll talk about the reality, so what's the situation right now for you guys here. Then we'll talk about the roadblocks, so what's stopping you getting started on the process, and then we'll talk about how we can, if we can help, and if we can, we'll go through the next steps from here. Are you okay with that? It's that simple. Next is decision making. Why now, why me? So this is the third box. Question you ask is, so why is now a good time to look at this, guys? And this is where you can get past the objection of they're just digging for information. Because if they say, oh, look, we just want to get some information, we think we might like to, you know, put a heating system in at some stage, that's not a great situation for you to be in, because you're potentially going to spend a lot of time on people who are just looking for information. But if they say, hey, it's February, we really want to get a heating system in for winter, so that's why we're talking now, then that's great. And the other question is, hey, what made you call us? And so that gives them an opportunity to basically sell themselves back to us. Oh, well, we've heard that you guys are good and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So they start selling themselves back to you. So that's why we do that decision making. Why now? Why me? Next is the result. So this is the fourth box. Now there's two reasons people make decisions. Number one is for pain. So that's to get away from pain, and that's often the strongest motivator. And number two is for pleasure, so they'll move towards pleasure. So the result is where we outline or get an understanding of what the outcome is they're looking to achieve, what they want to get here, what the pleasure is, what the result is. So if you have a look in the script, you'll see some questions there. And the key thing here is that questions are the answers. So actually, guys, let's have a quick round the team here. What do you think the biggest mistake salespeople make is? Just put what you think the biggest mistake salespeople make is in the chat box. See if we can hit this. Biggest mistake. Oh, yes, Trish. Talk too much. Luke, talking about themselves. Brilliant. You guys are on fire. Exactly. They talk too much. They talk about themselves. They get nervous. They just run their mouth off. In fact, they can make the sale and then just talk themselves out of it. Or they spend a lot of time telling people about what they can do. Johnny, tell the owner what they should have, not what the owners would like. Totally. Now, here's the thing. How can you give the clients a solution if you don't know what their problem is or what they're looking to achieve? So too many salespeople go in all guns blazing, telling them about the great heating systems or central heating system or gas fires or whatever it is that they could put in place without actually understanding what the client wants. And if you pitch them a solution that's not what they want, you lose them straight away. So questions are the answers. We've got to become really good at asking questions, letting them tell us what they want. And only then are we in a position to actually give them a solution. And here's the good news. If we just learn to be good at asking questions, that's actually three quarters of the challenge right there, because they'll feel like they'll listen to, we'll build the rapport and create the connection. It's much easier to get them across the line. So questions are the answers. So what sort of questions should we be asking? Well, we want to use questions like, so how will your home look when it's finished? What will that give you? How will that help? What difference would that make for you guys? And then we want to use what we call minimal encouragers. So minimal encouragers are just little phrases we use to keep people talking, just to keep the questions flowing. So minimal encouragers are little questions or phrases like, meaning, in what way? How does that affect you? How do you feel about that? How would that work for you? How would that change things for you? And then there's also the nodding yes. So I might just turn the web camera on to show you this. There we go. So the nodding yes is where you nod three times. One, two, three. One, two, three. Yes. 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 If you do that, people just keep talking. It takes a little bit of practice. Just one, two, three, yes. And they keep talking. And you allow them to get out all the information that they need to get out, which makes it much easier for you to actually pitch the right solution to them. So minimal encourage is a really powerful way. Guys, here's a little tip for marital harmony. When you're wife or significant other is talking, try using minimal encouragers. It's massively helpful, because most of the time, a lot of the time, lovely wife just wants to be heard. So give her the opportunity to be heard. Pretty similar in the sales process. Minimal encouragers. Like, meaning? Okay, how did that work? In what way? How did that affect you? How did you feel about that? I'm sure I'm going to get a bunch of questions and comments from that. So Sonia's got, how does it work on you guys? We just don't want to talk. Less words we can use, the better. Is that right, guys? Brilliant. Okay. So minimal encourages. And there's five key questions we can ask that help us get right to the heart of the issue. So once your person's been talking for a little while, you got a fair idea of you know what the hot buttons are, what they're looking to achieve, then you can ask these questions and in this order. Okay, John, what's the number one priority for you guys? Oh, why'd you choose that one? And is that important to you? Okay. And what would be the consequences of not getting that sorted? And would that worry you? Once you go through that questioning sequence, if you don't get the right answers, you know that you haven't quite uncovered what the problem is and you need to go back and do some more digging. What's the number one priority? Oh, we need to heat the house. It's freezing. Excellent. Why'd you choose that one? Because we're sick of being cold and the kid's been crook. Is that important to you? Yeah, heck yeah. And what would be the consequences of not achieving that? Well, we have another winter of, you know, cold, damp house. Would that worry you? Yeah, totally. I'm sick of taking the kids to the doctor with asthma. That's how that process works. So that's getting the result, getting really clear on what they want. The next is the reality, which is the pain. So that's what's not working for them. So similar questioning process. So what are you guys not happy with now? How's this affecting you? What does that mean for you guys? Really push the pain out as much as you can. So, and you do need to ask questions and dig a little deeper here sometimes. For instance, if there's an issue with heating the house, they might say, oh, the house is really cold. Okay. And you would say, oh, cold, how does that affect you guys? Oh, well, we're having to crank the oil column heaters up. Oh, okay. And we find that the house is really damp. Oh, so, how damp is the house? Oh, well, the window's always crying. Oh, how do you deal with that? Oh, we wipe them down with towels every morning. Okay. And how's that affecting, the family? Oh, the kids are getting sick. Oh, okay, right. So how often do they get sick? Oh, geez, they're sick all winter. So you're starting to build up the pain by asking questions rather than just telling them what the problem is. At this stage, too, you can do your walkthrough, your measure up. So that's a good time to do that so they can actually show you stuff. And having a quote request form is really helpful there. So this is the membership site. So you can go through and fill in the details, make sure you don't miss anything out. This has for hot water cylinders, kitchens, bathrooms, spouting, some drainage stuff in it as well. And you can version that to suit for yourself as well. Next is the roadblocks. So, okay guys, so what are the things that have stopped you getting this sorted so far? Because they've obviously known about the thing typically for a while, or in some cases not. And this is where you want to qualify them on finance. Well, we don't know how much it's going to cost. Okay. Well, how much are you thinking of spending? Oh, have you got finance organised? Well, we don't know the process. We don't know how to, do we need a consent? That's a big thing for a lot of people. Yeah, no, we can help you with that. What are the options? We don't know the options. Don't really know where to get started. Okay, so you can unlock those roadblocks. Next. And you see on the page here, it says sooner or later. So this question you really want to ask. So is this a sooner thing or a later thing to get sorted, John? And if he says, oh, yeah, probably we don't need to get done right away, but we'd like to do it, in the near future. Well, you've got a problem. They're not qualified to go right now. Really what you want them to be saying is, hey, it's a sooner thing. We want to get it sorted now. Good questions to ask as you're going through is, hey, is this making sense, guys? And are you comfortable with everything so far? Because you want to be giving you those little yeses, which is building momentum towards the big yes. Once you've got the roadblock sorted, then you can start shooting silver bullets, which is really just giving suggestions. So you can start then giving suggestions and options. And you do that once you understand what result they're looking for, what the reality is and what their roadblocks are, because only then do you really have the right information. So it might be, hey, look, I reckon based on what you've told me that central heating system would work really well for you guys because it's going to solve the heating and the ventilation problems. does that fit in with what you were thinking? So that's your temperature checking. How does that fit with what you had in mind? How does that sound? How does that look to you? And you want them to be giving you those little yeses. Number one, because that shows that you're on the right track with what they're thinking. Number two, if you don't get little yeses, you obviously need to go back and ask some more questions and figure out what you've missed. So temperature checking is huge. You can do that right the way through the process. How does that fit with what you had in mind? Yeah, it's excellent. Well, it's good, but... and then you've got to go through the questioning process again. So get lots of mini yeses along the way to get the big yes. Now here's a little bit of sales ninja tactics that can help get more out of the sales process and understand the client and where they're at. You really need to observe really closely. And I mean observe their body language and the tone of their voice. And here's why. Now words are important, but studies show that's up to 7% of the meaning. The voice, tone, speed, 38%. Body language is a massive 55%. Now people can lie to you with their words, but it's very difficult for them to lie to you with their body language. So what we're looking for? Well, actually, guys, I'd be keen to hear from you guys. What sort of body language would we see from people who are not interested in what we're saying or who we're not connecting with? Just put that down in the chat box. What are we going to see from people who are not interested? Calvin, no eye contact? Yep. Russ, looking down? Yep. James, arms folded. Brilliant. So that's a big one. Arms folded is I'm closed off. So it's either I feel threatened or I'm disengaged, I'm protecting myself, no eye contact. Mike and Tracy, distracted, turning away. Yep, so if they're looking at their watch, that ain't a good sign. Yeah, look, Trish, looking at watch, not good. We don't want to see looking watch or checking phone. Yeah. Another one is if they lean away from you. Okay. Is a big one. So noticing that stuff is important. Yawning. Yeah, James, if you talk too much, they might yawn, mate, possibly. So we really want to watch those non-verbals. Now, people who lean in towards you, lean towards you, who have their arms in an open, and their body in an open position, that's a good sign. If you can look at the eyes, the more dilated the pupils are, the more interested people are. So those are some signs to look for. So the non-verbals are massive. Now, one way of helping the non-verbals, this is a Jedi mind trick from an area of science called neuro-linguistic programming, NLP. So some of you might have heard of it. If you haven't, that's fine. Matching and mirroring. So we can actually match the gestures, the stance, the position of the people we're talking with. We can match their voice. So if someone's very soft and quietly spoken, to help build rapport, we can be more softly and quietly spoken. If they're quite loud and energetic, we could be loud and energetic as well. That will really mirror their energy and help us connect with them. If they stand on their right foot and lean towards the right, if we stand on our right foot and lean towards the right, that connects us. If they fold their arms, we can fold our arms too. If they lean forward on their elbow, we can do that as well. We don't want to mimic them. We don't want to be like a puppet that would destroy the relationship and the rapport, but you'd be very subtle and gentle about it. And once you've matched people for a while, match them, you can actually mirror them. And you could take an action, maybe fold your arms or unfold your arms, and if you observe them, you'll find that they subconsciously follow the action that you're taking. So that's a really powerful way of helping build the rapport and connect with the prospect. The other thing is to understand how people process information. So there's really three modes. Number one, visual. Number two, auditory. Number three, kinesthetic. And there's some debate about how much of the population is each one, but around 40% for visual, 20% for auditory, and 40% for kinesthetic. How does this work? Well, people who are visual will often say things like, oh, I see what you mean. I'd like to have a look at that some more. Those who are auditory will talk about things around sound. I like the sound of that. I'd like to hear more about that. And the kinesthetic are more, hey, how do I feel about it? They're the kind of people who will pick stuff up and hold it. So when we're talking with them and temperature checking for the visual people, we can say things like, hey, how does that look to you, John? Okay. For the auditory people, how does that sound to you, mate? And the kinesthetic people, how do you feel about that? I will help connect with their mode of learning. Okay, so that's some little sales ninja tactics. Number seven is checking for value. So check for value once you've demonstrated some silver bullets. Now this is where we can really talk about ourselves a bit more and about the company and about you know, how we provide a great service, great value. So first thing you want to do is, and it's in the script here, okay, let me make sure I've got this right. So the result you want is you want a warm, dry house. At the moment, it's wet and damp, and that's causing you, you know, a lot of headaches. And the roadblocks for you guys is you're not sure what the options are and whether you need consent to actually make the changes and how much it's going to cost. Did I miss anything? And if you summarise it well, they're like, no, that's perfect. You've got it. Awesome. And then you can actually sit down and just go through your the benefits of using your business. And typically, if you've got a visual sales presentation, so some slides you can go through, this is a good time to bring it out. And this is an example of a visual sales presentation. This helps with the visual people as well. And you can talk through, and we're not going to go into this in detail now as well, but you can go through, you know, common problems with plumbers and demonstrate how you solve those problems. You can go through your testimonials. You can include your guarantee again. Go through some case studies or before and after photos. Talk about your company values. So really position yourself as that high-end service provider. So that's demonstrating the value. And in the sales, that visual sales presentation, as I said, you have your about us, your common problems, testimonials, case studies, even a list of and examples of fixtures and fittings that you could provide, and talk about the next steps. Then the eighth step is the question loop. So this is really just confirming and wrapping up before you give them the next steps. So you go through the problems once again. So the big problems are warm, you know, your wet, damp house. And the solutions are, talk through the solutions, hey, getting a central heating system or a gas fire or a wood burner or whatever you've decided. Reconfirm the budget, confirm the timelines. If you can give an estimate and a quote then and there, then that's great. If you can get it done then and there, do it. Get them booked in. Next is the magic pills. So this is where you just say, okay guys, awesome. So the next steps are booking the job if it's appropriate, as I said. So we need to get some plans drawn up and get some consents organised. Or next step is, hey, we'll put a price together, put a quote together for you, and we'll get back to you and give them the date that you'll come back to them. As I said, booking the job if you can, plans and quotes prepared. Assume the sale. So you can finish up by saying, okay, great to meet you guys. Look, if you've got any questions, please give us a call. Look forward to talking to you soon and getting your project sorted out for you. So take the what we call the assumptive close. Assume that you've got the job. That's, you know, confidence, not cocky or arrogant, but just be confident that you've got the job. And if you've been through this process, then, you know, good chance you will have, because you'll be completely different to the other people who have talked to them. And they'll see your professionalism. They'll see that, you know, you know what you're doing. And lastly, do what you said you'd do. So don't do all the hard work and then don't get the quote done when you said you were going to get it done, because that's going to damage the credibility that you built up massively. Basically a common sense thing. Do what you said you would do. Okay. So One of the guys in the program has absolutely smashed the sales area. So Michelle and Graham from Ground Cover Landscaping. So when they joined the program, they had some trouble with the amount of time they were spending quoting, and a lot of that stemmed from chasing or dealing with tire kickers who weren't ready to purchase. So they've got a bulletproof sales process now where they have their inquiry scripts, they send a questionnaire out to the clients, Graham gives them a call before actually meeting them on site and positions them and qualifies them, and then has a robust site meeting, and as well as a really developed, well-developed quote with lots of benefits and all the reasons why they're a good option. And that's had a massive impact on the business. Turnover's doubled. They're doing bigger jobs now. Conversion rates have gone up from considerably less than 50 up towards the 70%. And the margins have gone up by 10 to 12% as well. So, and that's largely due to the strong sales process they put in place. So this stuff really works, and it can make a massive difference to business and to life as well, which is awesome. So Graham's next in the process of getting another digger at the moment, so that's exciting. So the next step, team, download the resources. So they're all in the sales area of the membership site. Not just the sales script, but the other parts of the process are there as well. So jump on there. Review the sales meeting script. You might need to version it in places to suit. That's fine. And just a note, you know, this process doesn't need to take hours with the client. It can be pretty quick. And obviously, the bigger the job, the more time you need to spend going through the process. Practice. It does take practice. I have an uncle who's the top rural real estate agent in New Zealand, works for Bailey's. His name's Mike Fraser-Jones. Really good chap. And he's told me on more than one occasion that a lot of his mates laugh when they see him parked on the side of the road in his Pathfinder talking to himself. What he's actually doing is practicing his script before he goes and meets with the farmers. And in his quiet way, he sort of says, you know, I kind of have the last laugh because I'm prepared and they're not. So practice, practice, practice. You have to practice it. Measure conversion rates. That's critical. It's on your monthly KPIs. Let's get those conversion rates in there, see how it's tracking. And yeah, flick it through the team. If you want some feedback and help with any of this stuff, look, love to help. It's an exciting area and massively important. So guys, just about brings us to the finish. Really keen to hear if you've got any questions. And if you don't have any questions, I'd love you to share with us what's your number one learning from today that you're going to take and put into place in your business. So questions and number one learning that you're going to take and put into your business. Right, we'll just shrink that down a bit. So any questions and a number one learning that you are going to put in place in your business? Get those downloads, thank you. No worries, James. Pleasure, mate. Brilliant, Kevin. Pre-qualify clients with a script that our admin team can do to stop wasting my time. Exactly, mate. That's magic. Pre-qualify, Louis. Yep, Russ. And what's that, Louis? Seems to come, your name comes backwards on the screen. Miles, number one learning, work on describing the value our business brings. That's massive, Miles. Actually, something I didn't mention today, guys, that's just on my mind right now is, I know some of you do tenders, competitive tenders, and you know, that's for those larger jobs. And I've had the conversation that you know, it is all about price in those jobs. And to some extent, you're right, but the reason it's all about price is because, not because it's all about price, it's just because it's really difficult to demonstrate any value other than price, because you've got to fit in with the process of the QS or the large construction firm, and at the end of the day, you just have to submit a plan and a price. And it doesn't give you an opportunity to build a lot of relationship, and that's why it's so price focused. So wherever possible, even for bigger jobs, if you can build relationship, you can talk to the client before putting the quote in and understand what the hot buttons are, you should try and do that anyway, because that, you know, might get you over the line in terms of building the relationship side of it. Calvin, qualify quote customers better. Yeah, using a script. Awesome. Yep, so James, perfect. We're finding tenders can be won with our health and safety package being done. So that's exactly what we're saying. Point of difference, some value. And whilst we've got, there's some of you guys on the program, one team in particular is not on today, who do really well at the commercial tender market. It is a difficult market because it's more difficult to demonstrate value. That's why it's difficult. That's why it's more price focused. Okay. So any other questions, guys? Any other key learnings? I haven't heard from everyone about their key learnings. Johnny, visual aids for the customer when quoting, more testimonials in the sales script. Perfect, mate. Yeah, I blasted you through that quote request form, mate, so hopefully that should help too with what we were talking about the other day in terms of that handover.